ko hamloch o lig moir veloy ato ben khoyr in lehi botel mi meno yim lamad to toiro arbe arbe nis nim lecho sechor arbe lo yo lecho hamloch o lig moir Velo yato ben choyr li botel mimeno Im lamad to toiro arbe arbe No isnim lecho sachor arbe Oy 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 venem Onu hupal belachtecho She yishalem lecho sachar piyul asecho Oy 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 veda veda, shmadan schoron shel tzadiki le osid lovoy. Oy 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 vene monu bal melachtecho, sheyishalem lecho zechar biyulosecho. Oy 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 veda veda, shmadan schoron shel tzadiki. Leo see the love for
Good evening. Thanks for coming. Before we begin the shir, we'll just do some quick dedications. Baruch Hashem, some really good dedications today. All the good friends, and I'm very excited to dedicate the shir to all these wonderful individuals. The first dedication tonight was by Dr. Chaim and Batya Cohen. This is in honor of a refuah shleima for Chaim's sister, Chaya Charna Matla, Bas Chaya. May she have an absolute and very quick refuah shleima, speedy recovery, complete recovery. Now, another dedication this week. We at Mayan Yisrael would like to dedicate the CD of tonight's class. This is in honor of a great wedding happening tomorrow night, the Schneerson and Abend wedding, both from here in Los Angeles. Musi Schneerson to Yitzchak Abend. A very big mazel tov to our dear friend Yossi and his wife and the Abend family. A big mazel tov to the Chassan and Kala. The Kala is my student. May you build a bayis nemun be Yisrael. And with Doris Yesharim, wonderful children and grandchildren, and lots of nachas and happiness and joy. May the home be filled with light and with happiness, and a home for Hashem, and a home of peace and happiness. Next dedication this week was by Yonatan Hamburger. He dedicated both the shir and the CD this week in honor of another good friend of ours, Jeff Grunfeld. Jeff Grunfeld's birthday. So big mazel tov to Jeff Grunfeld. A shnas bracha natzlacha, wonderful good year to you. May your life, may your year be filled with bracha natzlacha and abundant blessings from Hashem. Mazel tov for that. And very big thank you to you, Yonatan, for this dedication. Last dedication tonight was another CD dedication. And this was by Reb Chaim Baruch and Suri Friedman. And this is in honor of their new baby boy who had his bris today. And I'm sure this is the first time that his name is going to be on a CD. Yisachar Doiv, who's named after his beloved grandfather and our beloved man. We loved him and continue to love him so much. Beryl Weiss, of blessed memory, the foundation of this center, the cornerstone of Mayan Yisrael. May this Yisachar Doiv, named after such a great man, grow up in his grandfather's ways. And as we say, his grandfather used to always say, Torah gedula b'makam echad, Torah and greatness in terms of wealth together. May Hashem bless this little beautiful boy to grow up l'Torah, l'chuppah, l'maisim tovim, and all good. And also a great mazel tov to the grandparents, Marty and Hadassah Weiss. Lots of nachas to you for all the good you do for us all the time. That's with the dedications. And before we begin the shiur, just one more thing. Just two, three announcements quickly of the upcoming events that we have going on at Mayon in our great Elul and Tishrei program. And you have the books. So this Wednesday, we're having a wonderful program. We're launching for the first time Mayon Yisrael Mist, Mayon Yisrael Space for Teens. This is going to be an event for girls, high school girls going into 10th, 11th, and 12th grade from all across the community. All girls are invited, 7:30 p.m. here at Mayon. We're going to have sushi and a salad bar. It's fantastic. There is going to be a talk by Mrs. Shifra Revach, a beloved teacher to all girls. The title of her talk is The King and I, and I'm going to be doing a workshop with them as well. It's really going to be good. So this is Wednesday night, this week, 7:30. Another thing to bear in mind, next week, Sunday night, we have the privilege and the honor of hearing a world-renowned speaker here at Mayon Yisrael, Rabbi Moshe Brisky, from the Kaneho Jewish Academy. He's an unbelievably extraordinary speaker. I listened to him last night, the recording. I was blown away by the depth, the humor, the excitement. He's something special. And there's no charge. Everybody come, enjoy. This is a gem of a gem. Next week, Sunday night at 8 o'clock, tell people, bring your friends. I guarantee you will walk out of here very enriched and inspired. Now we're beginning our class this week. I'm excited about this class because usually we talk about, in these classes, about our obligations to God. Tonight, the class is directed towards Hashem, and we're going to talk about God's obligations to the Jewish people, to all of us. And that is, you know, based on a story of the holy Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, I mean, there's different versions of the story, but the general gist of the story is a very Baal Shem Tov dig. The Baal Shem Tov would travel to various different villages. I think this was before he was known. And he came to a little village, and there was a problem, there was a drought, there was some kind of a difficulty in the city. And what the people would do in these situations is they would come and bring a magid. A magid was a speaker that would generally, they would give very harsh speeches. And it was meant to evoke the people in order to do tshuva. So it was a fiery speaker that spoke fire and brimstone. And so the Baal Shem Tov walks in and he hears this magid speaking to the community. And he's really letting them hear it and telling them how angry God is at them for their negligence, for their lack of mitzvah observance, and that they're really all, because of their ignorance, they're all unworthy for God's benevolence and God's kindness. And he was predicting that if they're not going to stop behaving this way, who knows what kind of calamities are going to befall them. And the people were very sincere, simple people, and they're listening, and they're sobbing, and they're crying. And from the ladies' section, the women are wailing. And it was a very sad situation. And in a sense, the people were like thinking, okay, so they're doing tshuva, and hopefully God is going to hear. The Baal Shem Tov heard this very harsh rebuke, and he couldn't stand it. And the Baal Shem Tov turned to the Magid, and he said to him, he says, how dare you? How dare you yell at these simple, pure, beautiful Yidden? They try their best. They serve Hashem to the best of their abilities. They're kind. They give tzedakah more than they're able to. They're such wonderful people. Why are you rebuking them? Why don't you rebuke God? For sometimes it seems like the way he's treating his children. These are his children. A parent is responsible to take care of his children. And how come there is so many people that are ill? How come there are so much hardship in life and difficulties and parnasa and livelihood and the like. So you should speak to God and tell Hashem that what he's obligated to his children. That's a classic Baal Shem Tov story. This week in the Torah portion, we read about a certain mitzvah. This week is Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. So at the end of the Torah portion, by the last calling, the last aliyah, Shvi, it says many mitzvahs this week in the parasha. So in Pasuk Yudalid, Perek Chav Dalid, Pasuk Yudalid, chapter 24, verse 14, it says over here the mitzvah of not withholding wages of a worker. It says, Loi Sashik Sachar Oni Ve'evyon. You may not hold back the payment, the wages of a poor employee, me'achecha, from your brothers, o'imigercha, or it's a convert, asher ba'artzecha, someone who's living in your land, whether Jew or non-Jew, if you hire someone to work for you, you have to pay them anywhere, bisharecha, in your cities. If you take someone as a worker, you have to pay them immediately. How quickly do you have to pay a worker? So according to the Torah, right away. Biyomo titein scharei. On the very day that they completed their work, you're obligated to pay them. The sun may not set. Ki anihu, because he's a poor man. And to this wages, he risks his life. Because many times, different work that someone takes for the, person finds a job, that might be risky work, sometimes climbing on a tree or building on a high place. They can fall down, they can hurt themselves. So they risk their lives in order for these wages, for this salary. And this person, if you're not going to pay them, then they might call out to God. So you should avoid, you shouldn't call out to God. And it will be a very great sin to you if you do not pay this individual immediately. So the Talmud tells us, how much time do we really have? When it says the sun may not set, Talmud says you have a period of 12 hours. 12 hours after a person has completed their work. If you hired someone for the night, our verse is talking about someone, an employee that was working the night shift. So you have 12 hours of the day to go look for money to pay him. And that the sun may not set, which means you must have the person paid by nighttime. There's another verse that says, don't let the sun rise and you didn't pay him. That's referring to someone who works during the day. So then you're given 12 hours of nighttime in order to search for funds in order to pay the person who worked for you. That is the mitzvah. And if someone doesn't do this, they are violating or transgressing one of the 613 commandments. So the question over here is, we know that God keeps all the commandments that he tells us in the Torah to do. Masha hu oseh, the Medrash tells us, that which God does, that is what he is mitzaveh, that's what he commands his children to do. He asks of us to do that which God does. So he keeps all the mitzvahs. Hashem puts on tefillin. The sages are busy. What kind of tefillin does God wear? It says God gives tzedakah. He gives life to the world. That's tzedakah. Hashem prays. And the question is, what is God praying? There's various different references in the Torah that Hashem is praying. Every command, Hashem keeps Shabbos. All the things that we do, God does as well. So God is obliged to keep his mitzvahs. Now, in regards to our reward and our wages, see, many times in the sages, many times in Chazal, we find that the Torah compares the reward for mitzvahs to wages, that an employer has to pay his employee. We see that in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in Siddur, in chapter, Perek Beis, in the second Perek of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, over here, three consecutive Mishnahs in which it describes our relationship with God as an employer and an employee. The Mishnah is in the second chapter, the 14th Mishnah. It begins with Rabbi Lazar Omer, and it says, Veda, you should know, lifnei mi ata omel, before who are you toiling? Who is your employer? Who's responsible to pay you wages for the work that you've done? So we have the analogy of an employer and employee. The next Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, the very popular Mishnah, we all know this, Hayom Katzer, the day is short, Amalacha Meruba does a lot of work, Vapayala Matzelim, and the workers are lazy, Vasochar Harbe, and there's great reward, Ubala Bayez Doichek, and the employer, the owner, is pushing. He needs to get the job done. The owner is working on a deadline, and everybody's lazy, and he's promising such great reward. But again, what is the metaphor? The metaphor in the relationship between us and God is a relationship of an employer and an employee. The next Mishnah also, the last Mishnah, is the last Mishnah in chapter in Ethics of the Fathers, is the last Mishnah. It says, V'neman u'ba malachtecha, we can trust our employer, she'yishalom lach, that he is going to pay you schar pu'lasech, that he's going to pay you the reward of your work. Okay? So clear. We are also told in the Talmud that schar mitzvah b'hai al meleka, that there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. In this world, we don't get rewarded for the good deeds. All of our reward comes in the world to come. The Mishnah has many proofs to that, the Gemara, the Talmud says. There are stories where people were promised that they will live a long life for sending away the mother's bird this week in the parasha, another one of the mitzvahs, you're sending away the mother bird, or for honoring your parents. And the Talmud tells a story that someone witnessed, a father telling his son to go on the ladder, onto the roof, and to send away the mother bird. The son listened to the father, went up on the ladder, tripped and fell and got killed. And these are two mitzvahs which promise longevity. And while he was going to do the mitzvah, the double mitzvah in which the Torah promises the reward, he died. And the Talmud says, like, what happened? One of the great sages became an apostate when he saw that. He couldn't handle it. So the Gemara says, when it says you live a long life, it means in the world to come. It doesn't mean in this world. And whatever the explanation is why there is no reward in the mitzvah in this world, because this world can't facilitate such a great reward. It's too enormous. So God waits. He doesn't give us the reward. There's another famous statement of the sages in Masechtas Erevin, Daf Chav Beis, and also it's brought in two places, I think in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel. It says over there on the Pasuk, Asher Anoichi Metzavcha Hayom La'asosam, that God commands you today to do them. So we learn out from there, Hayom La'asosam, it's in this world, in this present day, that you do them. Tomorrow you receive your reward. So the reward is going to be tomorrow in the afterlife or in the world to come. So clear that there's no payment in this world. And Reb Tarfon, in this very same Mishnah that we just mentioned, that you can trust your employer, your boss, that he's going to pay you. What is his conclusion? V'da, and you should know, shematan scharen shel tzadikim, that the giving, the payment, the giving of the wages to the tzaddikim for their work, la'asid lavay, is only going to be in the future, in the world to come. So the question is an obvious question. How can God so blatantly disregard his very mitzvah that he's given us? The mitzvah says you can't pay tomorrow. Even if we're going to say that this world is considered today and that world is considered tomorrow. Tomorrow is not good. Tomorrow is told is late. You have to pay within the same 24-hour period. It's an obligation. And why is God exempt from this mitzvah? Now, to argue and to say, there is an exemption. If a employer makes a condition with the employee initially before they begin the work, that I'm not going to pay you until that time, they set a date, they sign a contract, that by that date he's going to pay him, but not before that, then he's not obligated. As long as the person knows going into it that he's not getting paid immediately. So we can say that God's exemption is that since we know beforehand we're not getting reward in this world, the reward is only going to be in the world to come, so he's not obligated to do that. That's an answer, but it's problematic for two reasons. Reason number one is it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch that exemption is only if the employer can't afford it, doesn't have the resources to pay, then he can push it off and delay it till the time they made up. But if he's able to do it, l'chatchila, meaning the best way, of course, is to pay the worker immediately when their job is done. You have to pay them. So God obviously has the means to pay, and therefore, he should be paying immediately. Another thing is, it would be quite difficult to accept that God is looking for a loophole in this mitzvah, for a way out. I mean, the Medrash says that Hashem tells us mitzvahs to do that which not It doesn't say in the Medrash that which God sees right or correct, he tells us to do. It says, Mashahu Oisa, that which he does, Mitzave La'acherim Lasos, he commands others to do. Which means God's conduct, he wants us to imitate that and follow in his ways and the way he does things. So why would God, so it can't be that Hashem is exempt from this, he made some kind of a deal, and that excuses him, but we're obligated to live with this commandment. It's hard to understand that. So the Mefarshim, the commentators on the Gemara, have this problem. There is a sefer called Iyun Yaakov. That's a commentary on the Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov was a collection of Talmudic medrash, or Talmudic stories. See, the Talmud, most of the Talmud has great, complex, various different dealing with legal issues, sorting things out in a very, quite not that easy to learn. And for once in a while, we get to various passages in the Talmud that tell stories and the like. So there was someone who made a collection called the Ein Yaakov, and many of the shuls, they would study the simple people who didn't have the mind to be able to deal with the more complex sugyas of Shas, the difficult parts of Shas, of the Talmud. They would come at night and they would hear these passages and the stories, and they would evoke them to love God and the like. So there was a pirish called by the Iyun Yaakov. And the Iyun Yaakov, so he, in his explanation, he asked this question, and he offers a simple answer, which seems to be a nice and good answer. And he says as follows. He says, our mitzvah observance is not something that we are hired by God to perform every single day individually. How long are we on this job? The work that God has given to us, it's a lifetime of work. We are employed for life. And the law is that when you hire a worker for a certain amount of time, you don't have to pay the wages of someone only when they conclude their work. It's halacha. In Shulchan Aruch, it says if someone, read the halacha over here, it says if you hire someone for a, it says in Choshe Mishpatzim and Shin Lamites, Sechir Sha'is, I'm sorry, Sechir and Sifhei, it says Sechir Shabbos, if you hire someone for a week, Sechir Chodesh, or you hire someone for a month, Sechir Shana, or you hire someone for a year, Sechir Shavua, or if you hired someone for 7 years. So then the payment is due on the day the work is done, the complete, their job has come to an end. So the day, yata b'yayim, if the person goes out during the day, goyva kolois ayayim, he has to be paid that day. Yata b'layla, if he goes out at night, he has that whole night to pay him till the end of the night and the like. So there is a clear halacha that you're not obligated to pay until the work is done. And therefore, when it comes to God, it's not like we did a mitzvah and therefore instantly Hashem has to pay us because I just did a mitzvah. I just gave tzedakah and I should be paid back immediately. I just went to visit a sick person in the hospital, so I should get paid immediately. Just went to a wedding and was brought simcha to the chassan and kala, I should be paid immediately. Don't have to, why? Because our work and our obligation to God is for our entire life. As it says in Masechtas Kedushin, ani nivreisi, that we were all created, l'shamash eskoini, to serve my creator, our entire life. So this service begins the moment we're born, and therefore the obligation of education starts as soon as we become aware and know what's going on. Our parents start training us to in mitzvah observance, and it continues till the person takes their last breath in this world. So really, God is not obligated to pay the Jewish people until we conclude our work. And then he pays immediately. Because in the afterlife, when the neshama leaves this world, that is payment time. That is lomachar lekabuscharam. Tomorrow you receive your reward. So God is true to the mitzvah and he pays us immediately after work, even though we know that sometimes there is a cleansing period until the neshama can come to Gan Eden and to receive its reward. Well, that's just preparatory, a preparation in order for the reward. So that's like part of the reward. You know, if you have to get dressed up to go to a wedding, so that's like part of going to the wedding. So that doesn't count. So really, Hashem's reward is given instantly when the job is done. This is his answer. That's a very good answer. There's a problem with it. And that is, it only works according to Maimonides. It does not work according to Nachmanides. Okay, there's the Rambam, and the Ramban. Rambam, we discussed this argument many times before. Rambam is of the opinion that the reward, the primary reward for mitzvah observance, and the ultimate reward, what we call the world to come, is a world of the soul, where the soul is has exited the body and the soul is in heaven. In the world of Gan Eden, that's when the neshama experiences ultimate bliss and ecstasy, and it's experiencing the radiance of God's light, and that's its ultimate reward. Even though there is a period called Yomos HaMashiach, the days of Mashiach, and followed by a period called Chiyas HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead, the Rambam says that's only a temporary state because you have to reward the body as well. So there is going to be, as we discussed in many classes, there is going to be reward for the body and the soul together, but that's not the primary reward because the body can't facilitate the great reward that the neshama, the body can't handle the great light that is given to the neshama. So the ultimate state is that the soul comes here for a while, even in the later, after Mashiach comes, for whatever period of time, then the soul exits the body again and it goes into this bodily state, and in that world of Gan Eden, that's when it receives its reward. So according to Rambam, the reward is really given immediately when the soul exits this world. We immediately begin the reward of Gan Eden, because that is reward, that is payment for mitzvahs. So then God is not in violation of this commandment because he pays us as soon as the job is done, which is our job is completed when we did our last mitzvah in this world. However, according to Nachmanides, the Ramban, in Sefer Shar HaGemul, in the portal of Gemul, of reward, and we've mentioned many, many other occasions, all the Kabbalists are of the opinion of Nachmanides, of the Ramban, that the reward, the ultimate reward, is not the reward in Gan Eden, but that the ultimate reward is the word of, that's going to be by Tchias HaMeisim, by the resurrection of the dead, the days of Mashiach, and then leading in to the time of Tchias HaMeisim, the time of resurrection. That is the grand reward. If that's the case, and he says Gan Eden is not reward for mitzvahs. Gan Eden is a place where souls hang out until the time comes. What are you going to do? You hang out in Gan Eden. It's a place full of light and full of enjoyment, but that's not the great, great, great thing. The great experience is going to be when Mashiach comes. So according to that comes out, or as explained sometimes, that Gan Eden is a reward, it is somewhat of a reward, but it's a reward for Torah study. That's how the mystics explain it. That it is a reward for Torah study. And the world of Gan Eden, I'm sorry, the world of Mashiach and Tchias HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead, that is the reward for mitzvah observance. So what does that mean? That until the resurrection of the dead, not one Jew was rewarded for a mitzvah, for none of our mitzvah observance. So the question is, well, that's delayed wages. That's paying way after the job was over. There are souls that have departed from this world 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Avram is waiting already 3,500 years and he hasn't been given his reward yet. And God is delaying all this time until Tchias HaMeisim. So we really have to figure this out. How can Hashem do this and not keep his very commandment that he has given to us, that he must reward immediately? So according to Maimonides, it's okay. Because yes, the minute the job is done, we begin receiving our reward. Nachmanides, we wait for a long period of time until we get the reward. So how does that work? So this will be explained by seeing the work of the Jewish people, not in isolation, in which each and every one of us do our own private little thing and perfect ourselves and our connection to God, but rather seeing the work of the Jewish people as one wholesome project, one job that God desires. What is, as explained in Sfarim, that Hashem's desire really originates in the Medrash. The Medrash in Parshas Noso says that the purpose of creation was because God desired to have a home in this world. That God wanted to have a home in this world. He created a world that is inhospitable to him. He created a world that is concealing and blocking and dark and resistant to holiness. And Hashem wanted that this darkest type of world, full of Yetzer Hara, full of klipa, shells, full of sitra achra, full of dark forces, this very dark world should be cleaned up, purified, rectified, and made into a comfortable palace for God, to a place where God can rest, reveal himself with all his glory and all his light. The Tanya explains this is the sum total and the purpose of all of mitzvahs, the sum total work of the Jewish people throughout all of history. And really, this is the job of humanity. This began with Adam HaRishon. As soon as he opened his eyes, his job was to proclaim God as master of the universe. And he called out to all of the creations, L'chun eranan al Hashem, let us go sing to God. Boyu nishtachave, come, let us bow down. Nichra, let us kneel, lifnei Hashem oiseinu. Then he messed up, and for 2,500 years, mankind got derailed, and we were off doing whatever we were doing. And then Hashem reestablished his bond with Abraham, with Avram, and he began this work. So from the day when Hashem told Avram Avinu, Lech lecha me'artzecha, until the very end of days, until the last mitzvah done by the last Jew, a second before the shofar sounds, the shofar of Mashiach, this is all one job that we are doing as a collective people. And that is we're engaging a world of darkness, a world of concealment, and we're purifying it. We're working on revealing Hashem in this world. We're polishing. We're polishing that which is obscuring, that which is blocking. We're tearing away the klipa. We're tearing away the blockages. It's when we do a mitzvah. When we're doing a mitzvah, we're pronouncing and revealing God in that place in the world in which the mitzvah is taking place. In our hands, in our limbs, in our soul, and in the object of which we are doing the mitzvah. Divinity is shining because God's will is being actualized in the world. And we all are partners. And throughout all of history, we all have our jobs. And that's why the Jewish people travel from place to place. We don't stay in one place. We're a mobile people and moved around, a traveling nation. And God scattered us all over the world because he says over there that the main accomplishment of this world is during the duration of the exile. I mean, the main accomplishment of this job of purifying the world and elevating it is not done so much by the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, because then our work was a consequence of God's illumination. We were responding to his light. So it really wasn't us making for him this home. God wants that this home for him, this mitzvah palace, should be done by the Jewish people without divine assistance. That's why in the last two millennia, and the last of such concealment and such darkness and such challenge, where we don't see Hashem, where we have so much questions, and yet in this dark world we're consistently dedicated and devoted to Hashem's will, to Torah and mitzvahs, that's how we make the world into a holy place. But it's all of us together throughout history, till the very end of days. And then he goes on to say a very interesting thing. He says that God, that this project is divided because the universe, the entire universe is divided in 600,000 sections. Because the Jewish souls are 600,000 souls. Even though there were much more than 600,000 Jews in the duration of all of history, he explains that every one of those 600,000 souls, these are the 600,000 men in Egypt, they embodied a root neshama. And then all the other souls, meaning all the souls of future history, are all details of these souls. That soul is splintered into smaller pieces and then into smaller pieces, and there's little fragments of souls, and that's our each and every one of our individual soul. And our responsibility is to shine godly light into the world. First of all, it's the purification of ourselves, of our body, our ego, our animal soul. We're all given an unholy spirit that we have to work with. We also have a body that has to be purified and rectified. And then we all have to have an impact on the environment. And as a result of our mitzvah observance, we affect the environment. What's your section? How do you know which part of the world is yours? The part that God has given you, the part that you're living in. Your home, beginning with your home, that's your place. And you purify it. As a Jew, we're living a Jewish life. We purify the environment. And there's a sensitivity to divinity in a Jewish home that is very, very palpable. The very fact that you walk inside and you see a mezuzah on the door, and then you walk, and in the kitchen there's two sets of dishes. Well, you need two sets of dishes. What's it? Throwing out your money. It's a waste of money. You have two sets of dishes. Why? Because you want to do it God's way. And God doesn't like milk and meat together. For whatever reason, it irritates him. So he wants them separated. So we separate them. It's his will. It's his desire. And that's how we run every aspect of our life. Shabbos, come into the home, and there's Shabbos candles, and there's atmosphere, and there's achnosas orchim, inviting of guests, and the pronouncing of kiddush, and the singing of songs that are singing praise to God. This is all a purification. The environment is holy. And that God, and that, so that's our immediate environment. And we all have an influence in the places we go, the people that we meet, the interactions that we have, to sensitize that place to Hashem and to holiness and to godliness. When the 600,000 root souls, with all the details of all the other neshamas, each one complete their work in their section of the world, in that purification, and only God knows when that purification is completed. So when that last Jew does that last mitzvah that breaks the camel's back of Golus, of the exile, the world will suddenly be illuminated with an intense godly radiance, with a godly light that will fill the entire universe. Not a new light that is going to be introduced after Mashiach comes, but a light that was there all along, but it was hidden, and now it will burst open for all of us to see. That's the project. And being that it's a project for all of us as a people together, so God hired us as a team. He doesn't hire each individual only as an individual. It's a team, and we're given a project to do. And therefore, payment and wages are not due until the job is done. It's not a, so an individual life is not the completion of the job. It's when the sum total accumulation of everything that was done in this world in observance of Torah and mitzvahs, that's when the job is finished. And that's when Hashem will pay, because that's when Mashiach comes and payment, the payment begins as we go from the days of Mashiach into the days of the resurrection and on to everlasting happiness and joy in that perfect world of the days of Mashiach. So we understand that, and even deeper than that. It's not only that, it's not like we were employees. What we can look at it is as a contractor. God contracted, you contract the company, and you give the company a project. And the contractor, he's the boss. He takes over the whole responsibility, and he has to hire workers and everything he does. It's all the contract. And obviously, you're not obligated to pay the contractor until the work is, unless he made some other deal, but you're not obligated until he finishes the job. You hire a contractor to build you a home or to do something. When the job is done, then you have to pay. The Jewish people were contracted by God. He handed the world over to us. He rolled it into our laps. It says Hashem put the entire world into our hearts, into our individual hearts, our whole heart of all of us together, in which we purify the world. And therefore, the obligation on Hashem is not until it's all done, and Hashem is in line with His commandment. This is a great explanation. However, what we still need to understand is that we know that this concept that there's no reward for mitzvah in this world is not so simple. Because we do find in the Torah many verses in which Hashem promises material blessings for the good that we do. The famous, what comes to mind is Parshas Bechukosai. In the end of Leviticus, in the end of Vayikra, there's an entire section of the Parsha saying, in Bechukosai Teilechu, if you're going to go on my mitzvahs, you're going to keep my, and Hashem says, I'm going to give you rain, and you're going to have peace in the land, and you're going to have an abundance, and there's going to be so much food that you're not going to do, and your storage houses are going to be filled, and there's going to be an overflow with blessings. So there's great blessings that are promised in this world, which are material blessings. And here we're saying that there is no reward in this world because God doesn't owe us anything until the job is completed. So interesting, Maimonides, in his Mishneh Torah, in the Laws of Tshuva, last week we also quoted from Hilchos Tshuva from the Rambam, in Perek Tes, after the Rambam, in the ninth chapter, after Maimonides in the eighth chapter, has very clearly described the reward that Hashem has promised is not reward of material in this world. And as we said earlier, according to the Rambam, it's not even the future material world. It's not at all in the material. It's only the spiritual reward that he's giving in Olam Haba. Maimonides is bugged with this question. And what are we going to do with all the promises in the Torah where Hashem promises physical reward? And the same vice versa. The question is punishment. According to Maimonides, the ultimate punishment that God forbid is punishment is a soul losing its portion in the world to come, in that spiritual experience. So Maimonides says, how come we have so many both reward and punishment related to the Torah that relate to the physical? And this doesn't seem to be consistent with the reward is only in the spiritual. So the Rambam says like this. Let's get over here and read the whole thing. Koil oisam hadvarim emes hayu. This is an halacha aleph. All these things are true. Of course, when we do God's will, we're going to have material blessings. Hayu, it was when the Jews initially, in the days when they came into Eretz Yisrael and they were obeying God's commandment, in the days of King Solomon, in the days of David HaMelech, there was great abundance and great blessings. And the year, and there will be a time when there will be such blessing in the world. Bizmancha anu oisim kol mitzvah satorah, at the time when we do all the commandments of the Torah, yagiyo aleinu toivas olam hazeh kuloi, Hashem provides all the good of this world. Bizmancha anu oivra aleim, and at the time which we transgress them, tekrenu oisna ra saksuvis, so then these negative things might befall chas v'shalom. Nevertheless, Maimonides says, this is not the end reward of mitzvahs. And these troubles and negative things that chas v'shalom in our life, in the physical life, that can befall a person, that's not the God's punishment. But this is the way the matter is. He says, Hashem has given us the Torah, and Hashem has given our Kaddish Baruch Hu nasan lanu Torah zu, eitz chayimu. The Torah is a tree of life. Anybody that does that which is written in the Torah, and you know the Torah perfectly, so you merit the world to come, and also mitzvah observance, according to a deeds and the great knowledge the person has. And if not, then we lose the world to come. So therefore, Maimonides says, what's the idea of all the physical blessings, material blessings that the Torah promises? Hashem is saying that I see that you are taking me seriously and my commandments seriously, and you're trying the best you can, I am going to assist you and make it easier for you to do more mitzvahs. By doing what? By eliminating all stress and anxiety in your life. By giving you abundance of blessings in the material world. Because when we know that if chas v'shalom, if a person is living through, and we all know what kind of lives we have, what kind of hectic and difficult, and we run around most of the day without a head, we're confused. So how much does a person able to dedicate themselves? When it's so hard to make a living, how much do we spend of our time just earning a living? How much do we spend worrying and concern? Chas v'shalom, if a person is ill, chas v'shalom, if there is war throughout history, all the wars, what did it cause? People running away from war, people being misplaced, people being homeless, and all the other suffering that there is. So it makes it almost impossible to observe the commandments. So Hashem is saying like this, if I see you trying the best you can, I am going to give you all these blessings to eliminate all the distractions, so you're going to be able to study and then accumulate more reward and to merit the world to come. If, God forbid, I see you being negligent in the good times, and even though you have time, you're not studying Torah and you're not doing mitzvahs, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it more difficult. I'm going to add hardship to your life, and it's going to be harder to do a mitzvah, and that's going to, God forbid, cause a person to lose the possible reward. That's Maimonides' explanation about all reward that there is about mitzvahs. That it's not reward. It's not wages. According to Maimonides, it seems like he's saying, again, by just looking at it from just briefly, it seems like Maimonides is saying that all possible wages or all possible physical material world reward that we receive is only a generosity and a kindness of God in which he wants to make it help us out in something that he's not obligated. Meaning there's no halachic requirement for him to do this. It's an extra goodness that he does in order to assist us in achieving that which he would like us to achieve and that which we wanted, or we would like to have. So that's possible to say that, that's the explanation of all those mitzvahs. The difficulty with that is, according to that comes out, that the whole concept that the sages speak about reward of mitzvahs as being wages does not apply to any reward from mitzvahs that we've gotten from the day the Torah was given until today. Reward in terms of wages is only going to be when Mashiach comes. All this time, this whole analogy of employer-employee doesn't apply. Because that kind of reward, that kind of a payment, is not applicable. It's only when the job is done. It's difficult to accept that whenever we find sages referring to reward as wages, it is not referring to any of the rewards that the Torah is talking about, or that it's mentioned in Chazal, in the sages, if you do so and so, you will be rewarded with children and with long life and with all the things that it says prescribed. It's hard to accept that. Looking in Maimonides, actually taking a little deeper look, Maimonides also is not saying that. Maimonides doesn't say it's not considered payment. He says it's not the ultimate payment. It's not the complete payment. This is not the end reward. But it seems like it is part of the reward. But then we need to understand, is there any obligation on God's part? Is it only God being nice? Or can we really, really, really hold God to some halachic requirement that he must take care of us in this world? So let's see if we can accomplish that tonight. So here is a possible suggestion. Is Hashem obligated to give us everything we need in this world and take care of us so that we can do learn his Torah and do mitzvah? So one obligation or one possibility is, there is a halacha that says that when you acquire a servant, then you are obligated to take care of the well-being of that servant. You have to provide them with food. You have to provide them with clothing. You have to provide them with shelter to make him a comfortable bed. If they get sick, you're responsible to pay their medical bills. You need to take care of your servant. How well do you have to take care of a Jewish? See, there was a concept of slavery in Torah. But the Gemara says is an interesting thing, that when a person bought a slave, this was a very, very, very difficult choice to make. It wasn't something that people liked doing, because when you buy a slave, you're buying a master, not a slave. Because that person can demand all the comforts that you have for yourself, you have to do for your slave. You have to feed him the same quality of food that you're eating yourself. You can't tell him that there's 2-week-old gefilte fish left over in the fridge that you're ready to throw out, and you're going to go order sushi. Can't do that. You're obligated to feed them equally. You're obligated to give them the same kind of bed, as comfortable as yours. And everything you do for yourself, you have to do. You imagine going on a nice cruise and you have to take your servant along. Everything you do, the servant is entitled to. That's the halacha. I'm not sure it goes so far. But it is the same treatment that you treat yourself. That's the halacha. So now we know that we're going to say it in Rosh Hashanah davening, Im Kabanim, Im Kavadim, we are God's servants. Avodei Ahem, you're my servants. If we're God's servants, Hashem has to take care of us as well as he would like to be taken care of himself. So he's obligated in all these obligations. And we can say, so that's where we can hold God accountable for providing all of us with everything that we need. The problem is, it's true, this is absolutely right. The only thing is that this is still not an obligation of wages. See, we have to differentiate between wages and what a master is obligated to a servant. See, your servant, you don't pay any wages. You pay an employee wages. A servant, you don't have to pay for their work because the servant belongs to you, he's your property. And therefore, he's obligated to listen. You have to take care of him because as a master, you have to just make sure that he's doing okay and he's living a decent life and he's comfortable, he or she are comfortable. But you're not obligated to pay them for their work. So true, in the relationship that we have with God as master and servant, he's responsible for all of our needs, but not in the realm of wages. Now that's not bad, that's okay, we're all fine with that. But is there an obligation of Hashem in terms of paying us for the mitzvah that we did? Not just taking care of us, but paying us for mitzvahs that we do in this world. So there is another possible a possible source, halachic source that we can turn to. And this is, again, this week in the Torah portion. It says when you hire an employee and they're working in the field, the employee has the right to nash while they're working from the food that's in the field. So it says in the parasha that kisavai bekerem reyacha, where is this? When you come into the kerem, when you come into the vineyard of your friend, of your fellow, don't find it right now. But katafta melulois, it says that if it's during harvest season and you come into the vineyard, so the employer must allow his employees to eat as much as they want while they're working. They're not allowed to fill their pockets. They're not allowed to bring along a container and put it in and take it home. That they're not allowed to. But while they're working, they're allowed to eat as much as they want. I have to work as well, not just eat. But that's the obligation. The same is also even by an animal. If you have an animal, if you have an ox doing threshing, so the law is you're not allowed to muzzle the ox while he's doing the work, because you have to allow, and that's cruel. If you muzzle the ox, you have to allow them to eat while they're doing the work. So that implies to a human worker, applies to an animal as well. So we can say, this world is God's vineyard, this world is God's field. We're all hired by God as his employees to work the field in order to yield, to bring about this beautiful, this great yield, this wonderful crop of godly light in the world. And while we're doing it, we're allowed to help ourselves to the benefits, to the physical blessings that are around us. And that could be the source of Hashem's obligation to give us all of our physical needs and the like. That's a possible explanation. Problem with that is that there's no obligation for the owner to give his employee. The obligation is not to hold back and allow them to do what they need. We sure hope that God takes care of us by giving us, as we say in davening, Hazan es olam, Hashem feeds us, takes care of us. We don't want to leave it up to our own, to us, because we are sometimes quite shlamazaldi, and we don't necessarily know what to take, how to take. So this is insufficient to say that the mitzvah, the obligation, is based on just our ability to take. Is there an obligation for Hashem to provide as wages? Is there an obligation for God to provide as wages? So indeed, we have everything we mentioned earlier. God, we're his servants. He has to make sure that we're doing fine. He has to allow us during the work to take what we... But then he's allowing us, not giving us. Here is a third possibility. And this is really very special. And that is that when we consider the whole project and we look into it and we see what really is our relationship with God in this project of making this world into a holy place, we recognize that we're much more than employees. We're even more than a contractor. We are God's partners in this project. And the laws of partnership are very interesting. Why are we God's partners? Let's first understand that. What is the difference between an employee or a contractor and a partner? See, a worker, which would be an employer, gets paid for their work, and then they go home, which means they're not involved with that which was produced. If someone builds you a home, so you pay him whatever the cost of the home, and then they go off and they go back to their house to sleep. But a partner has ownership in the house, which means the partner can come live in that home and enjoy the home because he's a partner. He owns that which he built. In our relationship with Hashem in this world and our job in this world, what's the payment? We said earlier, what are we producing? We produce godly light. We produce in revealing Hashem in this world. And then what's the payment? The payment is the enjoyment of that divinity and that godly light that we brought to the world. That's the payment. The sages say to us, schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. The connection to God that was established in the mitzvah that now we are oblivious to. We don't feel it. We don't see it. We don't see at the moment we're doing a mitzvah, we're enveloped in infinite light and endless ecstasy. because we're clogged, and until Mashiach comes, we're numb to spirituality, so we don't feel it. When Mashiach comes, we're going to be desensitized, and suddenly we're going to be vibrating with pleasure all the time. From what? From the mitzvah that we did. As we say in L'David Hashem Oiri, we're saying now in Psalm 27, Lachzois b'noam Hashem, to delight in the delight of God. When Mashiach comes, God is going to delight. He created us in this world, and He said, please make this world godly. Reveal me in this world. When we finish our job, Hashem is filled with nachas. He filled with delight. From what? From the fact that His will was done. Nachas ruach lefanai, as it says many times, there is a pleasure to God. She'amarti, I said something, v'nasa ritzaini, and my will has been done. And what's our reward? That's His reward. And that's what He gets out of the project. And what do we get out of the project? When Mashiach comes, we will delight in that very revelation. It's not that God is going to hand us a paycheck and we're going to go off and do our own thing and He's going to come live in this beautiful world and enjoy Himself. No, that's not what's going to happen. We're living together and enjoying this, the fruits of our labor, together with God. So then we're not employees, we're partners in the project. And when you're a partner, the law is as follows. Very special law. There's a law in the Rambam, in Hilchos Shluchim V'Shutvim. In Maimonides chapter, Hilchos, the laws of partners, Perik Shmini. Hear this very interesting halach. Hanoisim beitzim lebal hatarnegoilim. Someone brings eggs, unhatched eggs, chicken eggs, and he brings them to a chicken farm. This guy has a whole bunch of chicken coops, and he brings him the eggs. In order that the chickens should incubate the eggs, to take the hens, put them on the chickens, you should sit on the chickens until the chicks will hatch. Okay? Until the chicks will hatch. And that's not enough. He doesn't want you to give him back a bunch of little chickalach. Doesn't want that. He wants chickens, nice chickens. For whatever reason, he needs the chickens. For Yom Kippur soon is coming, Kaparis or whatever, let's talk about it. Whatever reason, he needs the chickens. So he doesn't have chickens to sit, he doesn't have hens to incubate these eggs, but he has the eggs. He bought a lot of eggs. And now he brings them to this fellow that the person should have his chickens sitting on the eggs. And the deal is, they're going to split the profit. So now they're partners. He's not giving him money. He's saying, I'm providing the eggs, you provide the chickens, and together we're going to create something nice, a whole bunch of new chickens, a generation, new generation of chickens. And what is this for? So the halacha is like this. So again, they're going to divide the profit. That's going to happen. But aside from that, tzarech lahalas loy schar amoloi. This person, the owner of the eggs, has to pay the owner of the chickens. He has to pay him for the work and the toil that he is doing. He can't say, well, we're going to divide the profit. Doesn't work that way. Because he is not working. He's going off and doing whatever he's doing. And he can provide for himself in another way. But this fellow is busy now. He has to run after the hens and make sure they sit in those eggs or whatever it is, the caretaker of the whole project. So there's work. And he also has to provide him for their provisions. Because how is the person supposed to do it if he doesn't have a salary, doesn't have any money to live on? So you have to provide him for food. And you have to provide him for the reward. And you have to pay him. I think the payment, the Rambam says, is kepayel batel. You don't have to pay him full salary because the guy is, after all, working for himself because he's going to get profit, not working for you. But you have to pay minimal wage. Minimal wage over here means the amount that you would pay a worker if you give him paid vacation. If you come to a person and say, you know what, you're working so many hours, you're getting $10 an hour. How much would you want if I give you a day off? And I'll pay you per hour, but I'll give you a day off. The guy says, well, it's worth it not to work. I'll take a paid vacation, even if you're only paying me $5 an hour. That's the amount you have to pay. Like a payal butta, like someone who is not working, and how much they would want to get paid in giving up their job of having to work, or at least for a day or so that they can have a restful day. That's the amount you have to pay him. And you have to provide him with meals. Food, you have to, that's aside for the payment. You have to provide him with food, that so that the basic needs are met. Now, the world is a nice big egg. Okay, it's round, not exactly perfectly round, so it's like an egg. And God brings eggs to each and every one of us. And he says, you be my hens and hatch the chicks that are in the eggs. Because really, we're not creating anything new. The world is really condensed spirituality. David Sacks was here last night and he explained it so beautifully. How everything in the world is really just condensed spirituality. But the spiritual energy and the spiritual light in the world is hidden and it's concealed. Just like the chick is inside the egg. It's not yet developed fully. So you're putting the chicken, the hen is sitting on the egg in order to warm it, and provide that warmth necessary in order for the chick to come out. We are all here given a little portion in this world that we have to warm it with our Jewish warmth, with our neshama, and with our mitzvah observance. And that's how we warm the world until Mashiach comes. Everybody's got their portion, which we sit on, until Mashiach comes. And finally, the chicks hatch, which is the divinity of all of creation, comes up to the surface. And then we are partners in the chicks, which means we are partners in that godly light. It's godly light. He made the investment. He created the world initially and put this divine energy within creation. But God's energy that he put into the creation is blocked and concealed. We, 3.5 millennium of work, we work on revealing that divinity and uncovering it and bringing it to the surface. And then raising it, developing it fully. And therefore, we the Jewish people are partners with Hashem in this job. And as being partners with God, with Hashem in this world, it's not enough that when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to allow us to enjoy and be together with and be equal partners in that great light. He is responsible for during the duration, all the days and all the weeks until the chicks hatch. The other partner, and our other partner, Hashem, is responsible to make sure that we have that which we need as part of our payment. A part of our payment, the payment and food includes not only food, food includes all of our physical needs that we need. And that's why the sages also tell us that if someone says Vayachulu, Kolo Oime Vayachulu, if someone says Friday night, we say Vayachulu Hashemayim Va'aretz, Ke'ilu Nasa Shutif Emakadosh Baruch Hu, we become a partner with Hashem B'maisa Bereishis. What does it mean saying Vayachulu? Vayachulu is our declaration after the conclusion of a week that we've been dealing with the world, in a week in which we've been digging for godliness, digging for Hashem in the rubble of life. We're working, we've hatched the chick. By the end of the week, we've produced something holy in the last week, and that's the accumulation of all of our mitzvahs we've done. Comes Friday night, we declare God the master of our own little universe, at which we lived the last week. And we say, V'chulu Hashemayim V'aretz, God, you're the creator, you created this, this is your world. And then we become partners with Hashem, because that's something that we enjoy together with Hashem. So as we do that weekly, we become a partner in that own week, in that little week's work. When Mashiach comes, we're all going to say the grand V'chulu of all Jews together at the end of the sixth millennium, in which we say after 6 days of creation, 6,000 years, we declare Hashem, V'hoy Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, as we say in Rosh Hashanah davening, V'yeda kol pol ki ata pi'altoi, that all beings will know that you made him. V'yavin kol yitzir, and every formation is going to know ki ata yitzartoi. V'yoyimak kol ha'ashen neshama be'apoi, and every being that has a soul in their nostrils will crawl out Hashem elokim melech, that Hashem is the king, v'malchusei b'koil mashal, and his kingdom, he reigns over everything. That's the ultimate reward that is going to come. And then we split the profit with Hashem. But until that time, Hashem has an obligation, a halachic obligation, to take care of each and every one of us and all that we need, the chas v'shalom, to remove any illness, to give us health, to give us parnasa, to give us everything that we need in order to live. We need shidduchim. Well, you can't do the mitzvah of having children if you don't have a spouse. So we need to have children, have a spouse. We need parnasa, we need health. So really God's obligation to us is fourfold. One of them has parent-child relationship. Im kibanim, im kavadim. So we're as children. And we're not adult children. we're considered in the Navi, Hashem refers to Yaakov hu akatan. Esav, he's finished. He's mature. He's an adult. The Jewish people are children, little kindlech. We say it in Rosh Hashanah davening. Habein yaker li Ephraim. Hashem says, a precious child. Ephraim, you are my precious child. Emyelet chashuyim, a delightful child. So as little, a parent can't walk away. They have to take care. You can't tell your children to go to work. At a certain age, once they get older, then you're not responsible for them. But at a younger age, you have to take care of them. So Hashem is responsible to us as children. Im kavadim, if we are servants of God, a master has to take care of all the needs of a servant. As an employer and an employee, there is an obligation, as we said earlier, that we're allowed to eat from the produce when we're during the work, and we're working all the time because we're always in Hashem's vineyard and we're always doing work all of our life. And in that sense, Hashem cannot stop us from taking and enjoying the produce around us, the godly blessings in this world. And finally, as a partner with Hashem, being that we're the one working, He's up there, in a sense, not as involved as we are in the project of revealing godliness in this world. He's doing other things. But in that work, He leaves it up for us, as it says, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz meyirah shamayim, that everything is in the hand of heaven besides fear of God. So in a mitzvah, that's our own choice. He's given us bechira chavshes. And therefore, as that partner, He has to make sure to pay us and give us the ability to be able to do our work. May everybody over here, everyone that's listening to the shiur on the CD, all the entire community and the Jewish people all over the world, everybody merit a ksiva v'chasima tov and a good gebench yar with abundant blessings. And we have to hold Hashem to all of this.
Matan schoron eshel tzadikim Leosid, leosid loy Uyuyuy v'nem Unhu bal melach techo Sheyishalem lecho Sechak piyu lo secho Uyuyuy v'da v'da Shematan schoron eshel tzadikim Leosid, leosid loy Shalem lecho, sechar piyu lo secho Uyuyuy v'da v'da Shematan zchoron shel tzadigim Leosid, leosid lovo Uyuyuy v'nem, onhu bal melach techo Shishalem lecho, sechar piyu lo secho Uyuyuy v'da Madan schoron shel tzadikim leosid, leosid